I am Plant on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. Erwin Loy is a reporter for the Vancouver 24 Hours paper. He joins me today to discuss the municipal races in Vancouver and more. ErwinLoy.com is his website. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Erwin Loy. Good morning, Mr. Loy.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. How long have you been at 24 Hours?
3 years now. We started in the spring of 2005, and now we're 2008, so I guess that's 3 years.
So you were there from day one then, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Do you enjoy covering the municipal beat? I guess that's primarily what you do, right?
That is primarily what I do. I mean, we're a small operation, so we do everything. All the reporters kind of pitch in no matter what the topic is, but on a good day, if I have a choice of what I can cover, it's municipal stuff, and I generally try to follow that when I can, even if it's not during work hours, per se. But, yeah, I guess that's one of the good things about working for a smaller operation is that generally you can kind of carve out your beat as long as you have a bit of time to do it. So that's what I choose to do.
And in terms of what 24 Hours has meant to the media market, it must be fun working there. It seems like it is.
It is. I mean, that's the thing. When we first came on the market, there was a lot of criticism, obviously, about the free daily format. But I think, people were criticizing the format, but not looking at what's in the content. I think, the stereotypical free daily is a paper that has no local content, no reporters, no newsroom, and it's full of wire content that every other newspaper can use for a price. It's no new voice. But we don't have a wire service. We don't have any local wire service. So we have, a small newsroom comparable to say a large community paper or something like that. We have three local reporters, a variety of freelancers. We have Sean Holman in Victoria, who does a lot of good work for us. We have a lot of local columnists who talk about exclusively local items. So, you can say what you want about what we do publish, but I think to say that we don't have a voice wouldn't really be true. So I think we are adding something to the local media. I guess you can comment on what exactly that is, but it's something. It's certainly not just a wire service or anything like that.
So the one story that we've been hearing the last couple of days has been this recount in Vancouver South, the Ujjal Dosanjh seat that he won by a very small margin and a smaller margin after a partial recount. Does that mean anything for the municipal races?
I wouldn't be so sure for the municipal races. The federal election, what's going on there is a battle of parties. I think here in Vancouver, that doesn't really play out so much. In BC, anyways, and more specifically in Vancouver, I think in Vancouver, it's always a battle of somewhat left versus right as opposed to parties. You've got the NPA, which is an amalgamation of people who generally support the Liberals or the Conservatives federally, and federally they battle it out, but locally they work together because the alternative is what they see as an amalgamation of NDP supporters, federal and provincial. That's a stereotype. There are people who represent other parties on both sides, but generally speaking, that's what it plays up to. So I don't see that really affecting the local contest, especially just because that's the Vancouver South was a race between, surprising one, I suppose, between the Liberal and the Conservative. So I don't really see that affecting the municipal race here in Vancouver.
What about the two provincial by-elections last week?
Yeah, that was an interesting result in that, the most interesting part was the low voter turnout. I don't think the Liberals had, I think they were being prepared to be pleasantly surprised. I think they were legitimately disappointed that Margaret McDermott didn't do better than she did in Vancouver Fairview. I think they saw her as a very viable candidate in a very winnable riding. However, that being said, the history of by-elections isn't necessarily promising. So I think they were quite prepared to lose the two seats. However, I'm not sure this bodes extremely well for the NDP either, just because it was such a low voter turnout. With the kind of political hay they've been making in the past few months with the carbon tax and Campbell's decision, for example, to cancel the falsifying of the ledge, you would think they'd be able to pull out a few more voters. that being said, I think they did a good job pulling out who they could. I think the NDP's got a very good grassroots machine to kind of get these voters out. But with a voter turnout below 30%, I'm not sure what you can say about how reflective that is of any trends. To me, it seemed as if a lot of Liberal voters just didn't vote. And knowing, of course, that, you know, the say Vancouver Borough is going to be split more or less in two in 2009, I think a lot of voters just didn't feel it was worth it to go for, you know, as that you can criticize why or why not, but it happens, you know. So just because of a low voter turnout, I don't think we can extrapolate too much to what's going to happen in 2009. It doesn't bode well for either party. Clearly, it shows that the Liberals, their support isn't extremely strong right now, but it's not exactly moving to the NDP if they can't pull more than 30%.
For political observers like yourself, it must be a very fun time with the federal election, the municipal election, the provincial politics, and of course this American election in the next week, I guess. Did you find that people are paying attention though? I mean, do you think the low voter turnout in the provincial by-elections that signals perhaps that people are not paying attention?
Yes, I think it kind of does. I mean, it is a fun time for certainly a busy time for people who cover politics. I don't really hear say the people I know, my acquaintances and friends and whatnot, who aren't directly involved in politics. I don't really hear a buzz. I don't feel a buzz about what's going on. With the by-election, I think people thought, okay, well, we have this month lead up to the federal election. After that, there's a municipal one after. I think the by-election took a lot of people by surprise, and maybe that's me being in the media and my colleagues and things like that. We could have affected that a bit. But I talked to so many people who didn't even know about the by-election, and I know people in the campaigns for the individual campaigns in the by-elections were a bit surprised by the lack of, not interest, but lack of knowledge about what was going on. It'll be interesting to see now that that's over, if basically there's two more weeks until the municipal election. I know some of the campaigns involved in the municipal election were kind of assuming that things would pick up after the federal election. They knew they weren't going to compete for media attention during the federal election, that was going to be a losing battle. So they laid low for a month or so, and I think they were kind of expecting that things would pick up, but it hasn't really happened yet. But with 2 weeks to go, I think we'll see a little bit more effort, a lot more campaign signs, a lot more advertising. Well, somewhat more advertising anyways. There's certainly been a bit less of that. In terms of general interest, I think there's more interest in the American election. I don't know what that says about us, but that's what I'm hearing right now. People are caring about that a little bit more for the time being. We'll see what happens after Tuesday.
Yeah, now, the people who don't pay attention think that there's little difference between Peter Ladner and Gregor Robertson. You follow the campaign closely. Is there a difference?
Yes and no. I mean, there's a huge difference between the two. I mean, the easy trap to fall in is to kind of look at them. They're two white guys. They like the environment. They ride bikes. They've got ostensibly a business background. I think they have the same number of children. there are those kind of superficial things, but really, I don't think they're anything alike in terms of the approach they'll take to the city. I think, Robertson's serious about looking at different ways to address homelessness, for example, whereas Ladner's a bit more conservative in his approach, and he's more realistic, some would say, and that really it's the federal and provincial governments, or right now I suppose just the provincial one, because the federal government doesn't appear to be getting involved, that will have the biggest say in things like housing and affordability, whereas Robertson is talking a lot more about what the city can do. However, that being said, I think just because the way our system works and the way the funding works out, cities can't really do that much. I'm sure Robertson would argue with that point, but the city has a $900 million budget a year. What are you going to take from that to affect housing? What are you going to take from that to keep your taxes down? In terms of making the most substantive changes, the city's got the least amount of power out of any government in some ways, in most ways. So while I think their motives and their end goals might be different, in terms of what they can actually accomplish, it might end up leaving the city pretty much in the same position 3 years from now as we are in right now. But obviously we'll have to wait and see. But I think, you know, people compare Lander and Robertson as being more similar than they are. I don't really see too many similarities in their outlooks on lives and things like that.
So homelessness is a big issue that you're hearing a lot about on the debates and so on. Mm-hmm. The drug strategy, property taxes as well?
Yeah, generally. I mean, I think we in the media tend to focus on homelessness a little bit more. Perhaps, should I say, the politicians themselves might tend to focus on homelessness a bit more. I'm not sure that's the ballot box question for most voters. I think when it comes down to it, things like property taxes and whatnot hold a lot of sway for the people who do vote a lot. You know, in Vancouver, the NPA can count on a very significant base of support. They can count on at least 40,000 votes, no matter who their candidate is. What the left has difficulty is coming out with more than that. We saw with Larry Campbell, it took him, 70,000-80,000 votes to put him over the top. I don't know if he'll need that much again, but the left will need that much again this time around. But it's a different base of support. So in terms of the issues, you know, Robertson seems to be concentrating on homelessness. I'm not sure if that's the issue that will get people out there. And I'm not sure if he's come up with a convincing message line or convincing strategy to tell people he has the answers. That being said, I think in the last few months, as part of his campaign, he's crafted this somewhat inspiring persona that a lot of people who weren't involved in politics before have become inspired by. It'll be interesting to see if he can actually get those people out. He got them to sign up for his membership drive earlier this year, but can he get them to actually come out and vote? That's going to be the difference, whether the left can come out and vote, because the NPA can count on their base of support, but it depends on how well the left can drive the vote.
So do you think it's safe to say as an observer that perhaps people in Vancouver will be voting over style versus substance, that they'll be looking at the personalities rather than policy?
I think that's the way it comes down to in a lot of elections, whether or not the candidate's wearing a sweater or not. I haven't really seen Robertson or Lineup change out of their suit and tie.
Right.
I think, arguably, yes. I don't know if that's really fair to either of the candidates, but certainly Robertson's banking a little bit more on his general appeal than his Ladner. That being said, I don't really see I think in an ideal world, Robertson's people kind of see him as this Obama-esque personality. I don't really see that. He comes across stilted sometimes. I think he's a bit over practiced, mainly through the fault of, the Vision's campaign people, I think the more he practices, the more, stilted he comes off. I think he's better off just kind of being himself, which is, I think he's doing a bit better of a job of that lately, but, in the past he's had a lot of difficulties with the media in terms of, expressing his personality. So I don't really see that as being the people voting for style over substance, because I don't really see much style between the two. But that being said, I think there is this personality, this kind of not everyday kind of personality, Obama-esque, that the Vision people are trying to cultivate, and I think it's worked for some people. I know a lot of people I've talked to kind of see him in that light. So it could work, but I mean, these are the people I'm talking to who see them that way probably would never vote for the NPA anyway. So whether it's enough people to actually make a difference in the election is another thing. I think both Robertson and Ladner in the end will have to come up with policies, or at least convince people that their policies are the ones that work, as opposed to just voting on a personality.
Is there much polling going on in Vancouver?
I think there is somewhat behind the scenes. I think we've seen a very conservative campaign so far. I use that in the non-political sense of the word.
Right.
And that, say, the two platforms have shown very, I would say, conservative policies, again, in a non-political way. We haven't seen any dollar signs, for example, from either of the campaigns. You know, the Latner people in recent weeks have tried to pin these huge price tags onto the Robertson platform. I don't really see it. See those dollar signs, which I suppose is both a criticism and a general assessment. I think that's because of polling from the political parties that have shown Vancouver doesn't necessarily want a huge change. And you know, your average voter isn't looking for some drastic change, and I think both sides realize that, so they're not promising the world. And also, both sides realize that, you know, we're facing a big tax increase next year, whether or not it's the double-digit increase that the Vision people are claiming or something a bit less than that. But it's going to be a significant tax increase solely based on what's already been promised, not even on what's going to be asked for next year. So I think people are being conservative in that way, and also because of previous polling they've done.
So who's ahead, do you think? Is it Robertson still?
Oh, I wouldn't venture a guess on who's ahead or behind. I think the assumption going in is that when you have, as Vision claims, 16,000 members, you have to assume, which is, you know, unheard of in Vancouver, you have to assume that you've got a significant base of support. However, you have to keep in mind they also had a very competitive membership sign-up, you know, with the Raymond Lulli and Al DiGenova and Gregor Robertson competing for the mayoral nomination. So that contributes to your base. That doesn't necessarily translate to support. The way I see it as support at the ballot box, I mean, so the way I see it is I think, you know, Ladner can always count on his NPA base. Right now, I'm not sure if Vancouver is riled up enough 2 or 3 weeks before the election to come out and vote against anyone, which is when we seem to get the highest voter turnout. So I think Robertson has a bit of work cut out for him. I'm not saying he's behind or anything like that, but it's certainly not as clear-cut as, you know, party membership lists would suggest.
And the one thing I noticed with the NPA's council slate, it seems a little stronger than the Vision one. That's just a personal observation. I'm not going to get you to get into that, but do you think that what do you think will happen in terms of the council races? How do you think council will be made up after the election?
Well, I suppose a cynic would say that it would be made up of the people who have names that are very high in the alphabet. I think it's fairly clear that, you know, Vancouver is a party town, and that it's not talking about the nightlife, but the way people vote. You go down, you know, each election, and it's, you know, people tend to vote by the party, and, you know, they'll pick their mayor, their choice for mayor, and then they'll just tick the boxes behind the party he represents. You see that last time around 2005, for example, someone like Patrick Malika, who was, I think, one of the movie guys on Shaw Cable. He was an NPA candidate and didn't really fit in with the traditional NPA kind of tough on taxes, tough on crime kind of image. But he was their 10th candidate, and he didn't really run a campaign, but he still came away with 40,000 votes. And someone like Kevin Potvin, the Republic of East Vancouver publisher,
right,
and he owns the bookstore on Commercial Drive. And he was in the media quite a lot, actually. And he ran a very legitimate campaign, and I thought a very smart one for an independent. And he had, you know, he wasn't even close. So something like that tells me that it's a matter of party choice. So the cynic in me would say it's good to have your name at the top of the alphabet. That being said, I think there are some strong candidates on either side. Some reluctant candidates on either side as well. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I don't see this election swing. I see this as being a very close election. So, you know, we've had a 6-5 split for the last 3 years. That might continue into the next 3 years as well.
Erwin, it's an interesting time, a fascinating time. I thank you for your time today, for coming on today.
Thanks for having me.
The website is erwinloy.com, and then you can read his work, of course, in 24 hours. For the commentary, I'm Joseph Flanta.